Today's scripture comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 to 42. Please follow along in your Bibles. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
Morning, New Mercy. Thank you for joining us this morning online. For those of you who may not know who I am, which I realize maybe actually a lot of you, my name is Kathy Jang and I am the interim pastor here at New Mercy. I'm so excited to be sharing with you the word today. I was actually supposed to preach a while ago, but we ended up having to push it back because of everything that's been going on. And to be completely honest, I was really disappointed. And I think in my season right now, that is a very big word for me. There are things that I definitely envisioned and hoped for that didn't really come into fruition. Just like I never thought I would preach in front of a camera in my room as my first ever sermon. And as I was wrestling with God, I started to really ask him, "God, do you understand what I'm feeling? Do you understand my disappointments?" As someone who is so perfect and complete, do you understand the fullness of my disappointments? And I think for a lot of us that in this season, we are facing a lot of disappointments. We have birthdays that can't be celebrated together. We have important milestones that can't be celebrated. We have weddings that are being postponed. And I know that even some of us were almost forced to face the brokenness in our lives. And a lot of us have also envisioned things and hope for things that we have prayed for in this season that right now it's not really looking like the way that we had hope. So does God understand our disappointments? Can he actually understand? And while I was wrestling with this and asking a lot of these questions, I came across this passage. It's a very famous passage. It's actually one of my favorites as well. And it's right before Jesus was arrested and ultimately crucified on the cross. It's almost kind of like the 11th hour for him. We see how Jesus acts before he gets handed off to the guards. And I believe it was completely intentional that Jesus spent his last night at the Garden of Gethsemane. Not even only for himself, but to show us how to act in seasons of disappointments. So we just see Jesus in this passage do three things I just wanted to share with you today. The first thing he does is Jesus dwells in his disappointments and wrestles with God. Jesus prays to God to ask him to remove this cup away from him, but he actually asks God not once and not even twice, but actually three times. And when I first read this passage, I was a little confused. Like, why does Jesus ask God three times? Does he not know that this was going to happen? Does he not know the answer? And the more and more I studied this passage, I realized it's because God wants us to dwell in our disappointments with him. I think we live in a time right now where everything is just so rushed. We also rush our disappointments. You know, we want to be healed right away and we want to be restored right away. And I do believe that there are definitely times when God does heal instantly. But I believe there are also times when God really wants us to dwell with him and invite him in the process of us dwelling in our disappointments. And on the other hand, we don't even ask God for things in our hearts, our desires, because we think that we already know the answer. Does Jesus know the answer to his question? Of course, I 100% believe that he did. But more importantly, Jesus understood God's character. And God's character is that he wants to be invited into this process with his sons and daughters. And I think even when I look at my own life, I learned the importance of wrestling with God. Just to kind of share a little bit of my testimony, I grew up with, you know, my parents, and I have a younger sister who is 3 years younger than me. And my parents are definitely not your typical Asian parents. My dad is probably one of the most affectionate people that I know. He just showered me and my sister with love growing up. He's totally a girl dad. And he was just so loving. I remember, like, he used to, like, just shower us with so much affection. But he also struggled a lot with alcohol and anger. So he could be cruising so well, but once it just kind of exploded, everything just exploded. And my mom, on the other hand, she is such a strong, independent woman. She's very loud. She's a lot louder than I am, which may be kind of hard to understand, but she really is. And she voices her opinions very well, and she's probably one of the most spiritually sound people that I know. But she's also very emotional and very rash. So when you kind of combine those two together, things just are very unhealthy and toxic. I remember when I was about 3 years old, this was one of my first memories of my parents, and they were fighting, and it got so bad to the point where they actually had to ask my grandma to come and pick me and my little sister and remove us from the situation. And luckily, she lived across the street from us, so I remember walking to her apartment at night, and I was holding her hand, and I remember thinking, oh, this is probably the last time I was going to see my parents. And I think that just instilled so much fear and this belief that my parents have somehow abandoned me. And that night, it ended up being a really bad fight, and my mom had to go to the hospital. And I remember all of my family members kind of looked to me to kind of gauge to see if I understood the situation and if I knew what was going on. And I just remember thinking, Kathy, you need to kind of pretend that you don't know what's going on, because they can't worry about you right now on top of everyone else. So just pretend that you don't know, and just don't let them, you know, think about you. And for me, that definitely made me more independent, but it also instilled this thought that no one could help me. No one can help me in any situation, and I had to depend solely on myself. So obviously when I met God and I started to develop this relationship with him, everything was just so skewed. I was taught to, you know, ask him for things and allow him to, you know, be with me in this process, but and depend on God. But for me, that just wasn't a simple thing where I can do. And but I did start praying for restoration. If there was one thing that I wanted God to help me in, it's definitely in my family and for God to restore my family. And that's been my prayer request, I would say, for more than like 15 years. But things at home didn't get better. If actually, it ended up getting a lot worse. And I just saw firsthand so much brokenness that can happen in a marriage. And so after years and years of this just cycles, my parents actually decided to get divorced officially when I was in college. And I remember that day, I was just so crushed. I was so disappointed that God didn't hear and listen to the prayers that I've been praying for over a decade. And I made a vow that I wasn't going to get married. It's kind of funny because I definitely don't think that way anymore. But, I just thought it was better to keep it safe than to risk getting married and being in a broken marriage. And I think even still today, there's still a lot of fear in me when it comes to marriage. But when I made that vow, I realized that I also had to grieve the fact that if I wasn't going to get married, that means that I wasn't ever going to be a mom. And if you know me personally, I love babies. People know how much I think I love babies. I have stories and posts of babies that are not even mine on my social media. And I think all my life, I didn't really know what God had designed me to be. But I knew that God had created me to be a mom. Because the desire to be a mom had been such a big desire for me for a very long time. And I had to almost grieve because that wasn't going to happen. And I came to God in the state of wherever I was to wrestle with him. And this wasn't even me coming to him and, you know, surrendering. This was literally me wrestling with him. I was disappointed that I wasn't going to be a wife. I was more disappointed that I wasn't going to be a mom. Even though I knew deep inside my heart that he had created me to be one. But through my wrestling and yelling and breaking, I saw so much of God's character and who he was. I remember just grieving again about my future, and God sent me a vision. And I usually never receive visions. I'm much more of like a feeler, as you can see. But in my vision, I saw a huge field, and there was this humongous tree that I was standing next to. And from afar, I saw a little toddler running towards me. And he was smiling, and he was running towards me with his arms up, and he was calling me Omma, which means mom in Korean. And I think in that moment, God made me realize that he desires for these things so much more than me. God desires restoration in my life more than I do. God definitely even desires for me to experience motherhood more than I do. And I just realized that God's ways and God's thoughts and His plans are so much greater than what's even in front of me right now. Even in the midst of so much brokenness and hopelessness, I realize that God still gives glimmers of hope. And I realize that God is not scared to walk with us in our darkness or brokenness, because to him, darkness is not dark and night is bright as day. Secondly, what Jesus does is Jesus dealt with his disappointments in community. I thought this part was a little interesting, but we know that Jesus took his disciples to the garden to pray, but he actually took Peter, James, and John further into the garden to pray together. I think coming from a Korean, Asian family background, secrecy is definitely a big part of my life. My parents actually didn't even tell people that they were divorced for a number of years. And I think we live in a time now where, you know, secrecy is definitely something that we deal with. You know, even with social media, we just show things that we want to show and we hide the things that we want to hide. Even for me, you know, I only show the happy times, happy babies, but I don't really show when times are hard, when, you know, things are not going as great. But Jesus knew the importance of community in dealing with brokenness and grieving. He understood that God's design for community isn't just to celebrate together, which is a very big thing, but it's also to be greatly distressed and sorrowful together. And I think I've been personally just really blessed here at New Mercy, with my cohort and my family group and other sisters that have been with me through this journey. If, you know, I would be totally lying if I told you that my family is completely restored and there's no more brokenness and everything's peachy and keen. It's definitely not true. But I realize even in this continual process, I'm able to walk with people and share together. I just wanted to share from 1 John chapter 1, 5-7, it says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin." By walking together in community, we're able to see the light that God shines in times of darkness. Even for me, I think there are times when I just couldn't even see straight because everything around me just seems so dark. But in doing so with community, with walking with people, they're able to remind me, no, actually, God is shining light in this season, in this places. You know, you need to just press on and see. And thirdly, what Jesus does is Jesus surrendered to God's will without offense. We see Jesus asking God, "Father, remove this cup from me." But at the end, he says, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." In this season, I've been taking classes at ATS, and I had classes with, you know, such great professors, and definitely one of them is Dr. Rob Beamer. He's pretty well known even at New Mercy. He wrote Soul Care and River Dwellers, and he's definitely one of my favorite professors. And one of the best lessons that I've learned at ATS was actually from Dr. Beamer, and he said, "Ask God for whatever your heart desires, because that's in his character to answer his children. But the best decision I have ever made was to never be offended by God." We see Jesus asking God the deepest desires of his heart, because he was God's precious son. But Jesus was never offended by God because of the results. He was able to fully surrender to God's will But that doesn't mean that God doesn't care about our desires. And for me, you know, like I shared, I've been praying the same thing and asking God for the same thing for a number of years. But I realized that by not surrendering to God's will for my life and God's plan for my life, I was praying more to his hands than to his face. Meaning, I was seeking what he can do for me instead of just intimately spending time with God and getting to know him. I became expectant for God's answer prayers more than just simply spending time. God definitely cares for my desires, and he desires us to ask him because we're his precious children. But I decided to not let the results affect my view on God. I wanted to end with this. We don't really see this in the passage, but after you fast forward, after the crucifixion, and we see Mary coming to the tomb, and we see that Jesus had walked out of the grave. And if there's one thing that I wanted to, I guess, emphasize today is that we are not identified by our seasons of brokenness. I know even for me, I've been talking a lot about my disappointments, my wrestling with God, and surrendering to his will. But I refuse to believe that my identity is just a girl with a broken family. I had people in my life that, you know, just really helped me to process my season, my long seasons of brokenness with my family and my parents. But I realized that, more importantly, this story is not my full story. This story is such a small part of the bigger story that God is writing in our lives. Jesus was crucified, and he went through his seasons of brokenness and abandonment and betrayal. But Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He had got up, walked out of the tomb, and he didn't dwell in his disappointments, but lived out fully in his identity and share God's goodness and faithfulness. And I believe that God desires for all of us to step out of our graves and live freely and not let these seasons of disappointments in the past to define us and have us live in bondage to that. While preparing for the sermon, I was reminded of a story that someone shared with me when I was in, you know, the complete depths of my brokenness. And what that pastor told me is in the Asian culture, there is actually an art called kintsugi. I think it's like very big in Japan and Korea. And what the artist does is they look around and they try to find ceramics, but they actually only look for broken ceramics. And they purchase it for very little money. And what they do is they actually melt gold and fill the cracks of the ceramics with gold. And now that ceramic price and worth had completely changed. That identity of that broken ceramic have completely shifted. And what I thought was really interesting is that the cracks are not hidden. They're not diminished, but actually they become more highlighted with gold. Without the cracks, there will be no room for the gold to be filled. I believe that God wants to highlight some of our cracks today, to fill them with gold. The enemy can try to attack us and break us. And yeah, sometimes there are cracks. But God will still use what the enemy meant for evil for our own good and use it to bless others. Let's pray. I just kind of wanted to spend some time in prayer to really come before God and ask Him, God, what are you highlighting in this season today? I know right now that there's just a lot of fear and anxiety, and even for me, I can see a lot of my brokenness becoming highlighted. But God, where in my life are you highlighting for me? So if we can just spend some time in prayer before we head into our response song.